This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers in Islam, there is a few ayat in Surah Al-Anfal in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the believers a plan, and this is a plan to success, a plan of success. Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah, also his teacher Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, mentioned that the believers that adopt these qualities that are in these ayat, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them victory against their enemy. Allah azza wa jalla said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. This is a specific address to the believers. Allah azza wa jalla is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً. O you who believe, if you are to face a fi'ah — a fi'ah is a group, and here it means the enemy — if you are to face the enemy, so if you're standing on the battleground and the enemy is in front of you and their swords are unsheathed, meaning they are out and they're ready to fight, and this is of course an enemy, if an enemy comes, it's well prepared, it is well ready, they are prepared to fight and die. So Allah Azza wa Jalla said, if you meet and you face that. Now the idea is, we can relate to this in the sense that if the enemy themselves are not present in front of us with their sword, then the enemy in this worldly life is present in front of us with their evil thoughts and plans. This is something that is witnessed every single day. So the idea is, إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً, if you were to meet the physical enemy in front of you, and also this could be true in terms of if you were to meet the evil agenda and plan of the enemy, and they were to cast that at you of their evil agendas and evil plan, whatever it is, of luring the people into major sins and then eventually into ash-shirk and al-kufr through kufr beliefs and ideologies and theories and so on. If you meet all that in front of you, what does a believer do? What is the path and the road to success? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says to the believers, فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. The first address was اثبتوا. اثبتوا, it comes from the word ثَبَتَ, which means to stand your ground. Stand firm and do not be terrified and worried and run away. This is initially, if the believers are facing an army, an enemy that is in front of them, the first command Allah Azza wa Jal gives is اثبتوا, stand your ground, do not panic and do not run away, because this is going to show your weakness, you're going to expose your weakness to your enemy. As a result, a shaitan will take advantage of this and strengthen them. So اثبتوا, stand your ground. And the idea here is, اثبتوا is a word that is comprehensive. اثبتوا on everything. اثبتوا on the knowledge that you have. Be steadfast upon the knowledge that you have. Be steadfast upon Islam that you've been learning for the last 30, 40 years of your life. Everything that you have learned needs to be with you, and this is what is going to give you the strength and the ability to stand strong and to be steadfast and committed. And this was the case of يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم and the companions as well. يعني subhanAllah, you realize that there is a hadith in when Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked by his daughter Fatima for a slave. She wanted a slave in her house so that the slave could help in house chores and duties. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wasn't home at that time when Fatima came and requested. So later on that day, he went to her house. Fatima radiallahu anha, she's married to Ali radiallahu anhu. He entered the house and he said to them both, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمَا عَلَى مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمَا مِنْ خَادَمٍ. Should I inform you and tell you about something that is much better for you too than bringing you a slave and helping you? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them to say Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 34 before you sleep. And he said, this is going to be much better for you than a slave inside this house helping you in the home duties. He's going to give you strength and power. So then Ali radiallahu anhu said, I never left them. فَمَا تَرَكْتُهُنَّ مُنْذُ سَمِعْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He said, I never left them out since the day the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me. Then one of the companions said to him, وَلَا لَيْلَةَ صَفِّينَ. Not even on that huge night of Safin, in where there was a huge fitna between the Sahaba, and there was a war that night. Laylat Safin is a war. There was a war. He said, I didn't even leave them out on that night in which it was a war. The idea, أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا. This, if anything, it teaches us about Ali radiallahu anhu's steadfastness. At the time of a war, a person's mind is busy. A person's mind is occupied. His emotions are all over the place. Fear and worry and sadness and terror and panic and urgency to get out of here. But even then, he would say, وَلَا لَيْلَةَ صَفِّينَ. I didn't even leave them out on the night of Safin. So he's sitting there on a huge night saying Subhanallah 33, Alhamdulillah 33, Allahu Akbar 34. The idea is when the fitan intensify, this is when you need to stand ground on your deen and you hold firm on that which you have learned for all your years. It's very easy to worship Allah Azza wa Jal in times of ease. But the one who worships Allah in times of ease, Allah gives him the ability to worship Him and remember Him in times of calamity and difficulty. فَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He said, فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. This is the second ingredient, the second matter that is mentioned. The first is to hold the ground and remain steadfast upon the teachings of Al-Islam. And primarily this would refer to Al-Fara'id. Hold on to Al-Fara'id. Next one is, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. In days like this, where the enemy's agendas and plans and propaganda is all in front of us, the second thing a person should do is, وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Uzkurullah al-ibadat, engaging in worship. This is what Uzkurullah kathiran means. Because every single worship that we do reminds us of Allah. As-salat reminds you of Allah, and fasting reminds you of Allah, and charity reminds you of Allah Azza wa Jal, with dhikr itself and reading the Quran, listening to the Quran, memorizing, attending classes of knowledge. All of this, Uzkurullah kathiran. All of this reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in abundance, كثيراً, because as the fitan intensify, as the evil intensifies, you're supposed to meet that with an abundant amount of worship. With an abundant amount of worship. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, العبادةُ فِي الْهَرْجِ كَهِجْرَةٍ إِلَيْهِ. Look how beautiful this is. He said, العبادةُ فِي الْهَرْجِ. Worship during the times of intense fitan, كَهِجْرَةٍ إِلَيْ. It's like you have migrated to me. What does that mean? Yani, worship in times of fitan is like you have migrated to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, Sahaba, when they were in Mecca, and then they began to migrate from Mecca to Al-Madina, Mecca was danger for them. Mecca, this is where you'd be belted and tortured, and hit, and abused, and mocked, and your property and your worldly possession is robbed from you. This is what was happening in Mecca. It was unsafe. So when a Sahaba left Mecca and underwent the migration and went to Al-Madinah, they found what? Peace and security and safety. Alhamdulillah, we are in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are among the believers. We have our own masjid. We have our homes, we have our houses, we have our businesses, Alhamdulillah. That's it, we've left that fitna. This is exactly what worship will give during the time of fitna. It gives you safety and protection. This is what it means. Al-ibadatu fil fitna, al-ibadatu fil harji, kahijratin ilay. Worship in the times of fitna is like a migration to me. Meaning when you're in this worldly life of fitna, and there is fear and there is panic, you can see it. You can see it in the words of people. Either he wants to leave, and this one doesn't know what to do with his children in school, or either he's speaking about something else, and everyone's worried. Tayyib, ibadah. Focus on al-ibadah. This is going to be like you have moved from Mecca, which was the land of fitan and the land of torture and punishment for the believers, to al-Madinah, which was now a safe haven, a refuge, and there was security and peace there. This is what al-ibadah would do when you engage in a lot and abundant of worship during al-fitan. It's as though you're in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no worry for you. There is no fear upon you. Allah Azza wa Jal looks after these people. This is why the end of the ayah, he said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you may attain success. It's the only path to success when there is an army or an enemy ahead of you, awaiting you, whether they're physically there or they are there with their evil ideas and their theories and their agendas and whatever it is they throw at us. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا لَقِيتُمْ فِئَةً فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, and these are another three he mentions. He says, فَاثْبُتُوا وَاذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Then he says, سيت الآية اللي بعدها, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Number three, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obey Allah and His Messenger. This is an essential matter. This also needs to be done as well. أَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obedience of Allah and His Messenger. And this is exactly what gave the believers victory on the day of Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. And this was the actual opening for why Allah Azza wa Jal would give the believers Mecca after that as well, Fathu Mecca. Yani, you know, the conquest of Mecca. What is the conquest of Mecca? This was the entire, yani, the conquest of Mecca is the entire purpose of a da'wah. The entire 23 years of da'wah to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that they were kicked out of Mecca, they left Mecca. And the entire purpose after that, how are we going to find a road back to Mecca and establish a Tawheed in there? Because once a Tawheed was established in Mecca, it was only a few more years and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was gone to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it, because the major mission has been fulfilled. So everything and all the wars before Fathu Mecca were all a preparation for that grand day of opening and the conquest of Mecca and destroying the idols around the Kaaba. Before that, the first step of the conquest of Mecca was Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, in where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave al-Madinah and he headed towards Mecca with the Sahaba. They were going to go for Umrah, and then the people of Mecca, Quraysh, would come out and they barred Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. Stop, there is no Umrah for you this year. And there was a big discussion, and then there was a peace treaty. There was a peace treaty. For the peace treaty was that they should not do Umrah this year and the companions should come next year. Come next year. And anyone who accepts Islam from Quraysh and decides to go to Al-Madinah, the companions and the believers have to return him back to Mecca. And anyone among the believers that decides to join Quraysh should also be left to do what he likes. Umar radiallahu anhu began to become really frustrated when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was agreeing to all these agreements and to this contract. He was getting very frustrated. He went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu complaining. It didn't work. He went first to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he went back to Umar, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to him, I am the messenger of Allah and I will not disobey Allah azza wa jal, and anything Quraysh want that will preserve the sanctity and the honor of Mecca, I'm going to give them. This is not easy to do and cause bloodshed in Al-Mecca. It's not easy. So whatever they want, I will give them. Umar radiallahu anhu seemed frustrated. He didn't understand because he thought they're going to do an Umrah. Anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now wants to go back to Al-Madinah. But because they're in Ihram, you're going to have to remove Al-Ihram and the state of Ihram. And you do that by shaving your head and slaughtering the sheep that they had brought out with them. For Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the Sahaba, he's the point. He said to them, shave your heads. No one listened. So he went into the tent in where his wife Umm Salama was sitting and he told her the story. What do you advise? She said, perhaps shave your head in front of them and they'll all follow and do so. It's a good idea. So he came out, radiallahu anha. He came out of his house and he shaved his head. And everyone saw this and obviously everyone rushed to shave their head. But some of them shaved and some of them only cut their hair. Not everyone shaved. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Rahim Allahu al-Muhalliqeen, 3 times. May Allah bestow His mercy upon those who shave their head completely 3 times over. And then they asked him, what about those who trim their hair? He said, wal muqassirin. And also those who trim their hair, may Allah bestow His mercy upon them. But he made a dua for them once. Even the one who completely shaved earned 3 times Allah's mercy. And the one who trimmed earned 1 mercy. Like, what's the idea here? Why is that the case? The idea was this. They obeyed the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command. They shaved their head. They slaughtered the sheep. People were frustrated. Some of them, most of them, wanted to go and perform a Umrah. But they realized now that that plan has been cancelled. It's not easy. Almost 15, 16 days of walking. Now to be turned back. They believe it's a humiliation that they're turning back and going back to Al-Madinah. We shaved our heads, yani ma'anata, that's it, there's no more Umrah. Those who shaved their head completely versus those who trimmed, because those who shaved their head had complete submission to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's command. And those who trimmed, they trimmed because they thought maybe there's a chance that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will change his ID. Maybe he'll change his stance. And we'll end up going back in and doing Umrah, so let's have some hair on to shave it when we do the Umrah. Meaning, there was submission, but it wasn't as complete as those who shaved their head. SubhanAllah. For as a result, when they were walking back, Allah would reveal Surah Al-Fath, which began, إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Certainly and most definitely, we have granted you a great opening. This great opening is referring to Sulh al-Hudaybiyah. For Umar radiallahu anhu was told about the ayah that was revealed and he was walking behind in the group. And then he rushed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said to him, أَفَتْحٌ هُو? Is this indeed victory? Is it indeed victory? How is this victory? فالنبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, فَتْحٌ هُو? Indeed it is victory. I mean, how is it victory? But they are walking back now to Al-Madinah and nothing opened up. They didn't even step foot in Mecca. Al-Umrah they didn't even do. How was it victory? What was victory is the fact they obeyed Allah and His Messenger. This is what victory was. That they obeyed Allah and His Messenger. And they agreed to whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed, even though they were frustrated at the beginning. Initially, Umar radiallahu anhu couldn't hold this. To tell him to turn back and we're not doing Umrah this year, he couldn't do it. And he would complain to the Messenger of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Lakin the idea was, they obeyed Allah and His Messenger. And that was called fatah. That was called victory in and of itself. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Obedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Especially in times of fitan and trial and tribulation. وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And then this is emphasized by saying وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, and do not dispute among one another. And this is the fourth matter, and do not dispute among one another. Yani, when the enemy is ahead of you, when you dispute, you expose your weakness to your enemy. As a result, they take advantage of these holes that there is in the believer's line and in their ranks. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا, do not dispute among one another. Love each other, respect each other, honor each other. This is the believer's relationship with his brothers and sisters. This is how it's supposed to be. وَلَا تَنَازَعُ. Why? Because if you dispute among each other, you know what happens? Allah said, وَتَذْهَبَ رِحُكُمْ. Your رِحُكُمْ would go. What is رِحُكُمْ? رِحُكُمْ means a strong wind. So generally, what's being said here, your strong wind would go away. So what is the strong wind? The strong wind, it is power. It's destruction. When a strong wind blows, it doesn't leave anything in its path except that it destroys. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, if you were to dispute among each other, your strength would go. تَذَبَرِحُكُمْ, meaning your strength would go. Your power would go. Allah Azza wa Jalla referred to the unity of the believers like a strong wind. And you know, if a strong wind was to blow, it does not leave anything in its path except that it destroys. So in order to maintain this power and strength, there shall be no dispute and no disunity. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا وَتَذْهَبَ رِحُكُمْ. That was the fourth matter. And the final matter was, اصبروا إن الله يحب الصابرين. And remain patient. Remain patient over what? Over all these things that we mentioned. Of اثبتوا واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون. Remain patient upon steadfastness. Remain patient upon العبادات وذكر الله عز وجل. Remain patient upon the obedience of Allah and His Messenger. And remain patient with one another. Remain patient with one another. The people, in essence, وجعلنا بعضكم لبعض فتنة. People are a fitna to each other. And the idea and the entire test was, أتصبرون? Would you remain patient with each other in terms of respecting one another and giving your brother in Islam his rights and him giving you your rights back? Would you remain patient with each other? Or you're going to eat each other and fight with each other and mock each other and insult each other? If you do this, you fell into the fitna and you destroy brotherhood. And as a result, if brotherhood is destroyed and it's shattered, as a result, your strength and your weakness and your strength and your power is gone. The enemy observes this and they take advantage of it. Wasbiru, remain patient with each other. Remain patient upon the worship of Allah. Remain patient when keeping away from sin. And remain patient upon the difficulties and the calamities and the fitan that you observe and you see before you. Why? Because if you're to be patient, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, His aid and His support is with الصابرين. It is with those who are patient. مَعِيَّةُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. This is, you're in the company of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you're in the company of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then all is good. He maintains your iman, maintains your affairs, and He gives you victory over your enemy and their plots and their agendas and their evil thoughts and ideologies and whatever it is that they have. وَاصْبِرُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us goodness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us victory. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among the patient. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this gathering and forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ. صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ.